Thanks, it's really good to be here. There just aren't enough poems written about domestic appliances, so I thought I'd help the matters along with this one called My Washing Machine Dream. In my washing machine dream, I came out clean. I crept in dull and dirty and clambered out pristine. For I was a filthy miscreant, but water, whoosh and soap allowed me back into the world, whiter than a pope. When others saw my aura, so sparkling, shiny, clean, they joined the growing clamour to use my washing machine. Oh, let us be as bright as you, they begged of me en masse. So I crammed them in, pressed extra spin, and watched them through the glass. Like underwater angels, they tumbled round and round. And when the cycle finished, every one had drowned. I hauled them out and hung them out upon my washing line. They flapped and fluttered in the breeze, which made them look just fine. But each had died, and when they dried, I folded them with love and placed them in my laundry bin, safely stored above my washing machine, which I unplugged and firmly shut the door. Now others slump in mucky clumps across my laundry floor. I warn them off, but that won't stop them wanting to be clean, in case they're seen within this dream about my washing machine. Here's a nice cheerful one called Death Wish. Am I too far enough away from the mic? I want it yelling. Give me a clean death, a minimal mess death, not a leaky from every orifice, foul smelling, holding your breath death. Give me a quick death, a now you see it, now you don't death. Not a lingering, morphing, swaddled hospital, visiting hours, calling the night, is it a false alarm death? Give me an unaware death. And no one was as surprised as me death. Not a staring you hard in the face, look at me, here I come with a sharp swinging scythe death. Give me a quiet death. A go to sleep, but don't wake up death. Not a wide-eyed, mad, noisy, everyone screaming and wild death. Give me an end-of-life death. I've done it all tired and don't mind death. Not a cut-off in my prime with so much still to find death. If it's better to give than receive death, then give me one of these deaths, or give me a no-death-at-all death. There we go, death and love. So let's go to the lovers now. I'm bored, she said. Entertain me, she said, patting her lover hard on the head. Now, he said. Yes, she said. Stretching, he growled and leapt from the bed. As a lion, he snarled a jungling roar. She jabbed a sharp thorn in the soft of his paw. He winced, then whimpered, went silent with pain. She giggled in triumph and shouted, again! He rose as a dragon, breathed cauldrons of fire. She summoned up gallons and doused his desire. He pulled as a shark her down in the sea. With scarcely an effort, she eased herself free. He teemed as a city all over her land. She rubbled him down with a sweep of her hand. She tried to be gentle, advanced as a fawn. She tried a thin smile and stifled a yawn. He hissed as a snake and wrapped round the bed. She sucked out his poison and stamped on his head. He curled, then exploded with a blast through the air. She laughed and picked pieces from out of her hair. With feather-strained wings, he fled to the sky. She launched herself up with a shrill hawkish cry. With long deadly talons she clawed at his heart, dragged him to ground and ripped him apart. He sobbed and gave in. She indulgently smiled and drew him in close and thought of a child. And as I've got this book to sell here for very reasonable prices, I'm going to read some from it. These were all done over a period of time to basically for a lot of local people who like the poems, so you'll like one or two of them. This one's called Orion's Belt. When things all get on top of me and life is one long sigh, it's soothing in the dark to see Orion's belt up in the sky. But then the panic hits me. What if that belt were gone? Orion's pants would surely fall and smother everyone. And that's why I'm appealing for cash to put things right, to send some giant braces up into the scarlet night and help make sure Orion's pants stay firmly in their place, held by belt and braces safely up in space. This one's called The Fly. The fly rests on the tablecloth too near my lunchtime snack. I raise my arm with steadied wrath to give a fateful smack. I poise my hand and concentrate, then swiftly let it drop. The fly speeds off, I'm just too late, and slap the table top. Dear fly, unscathed, you thrive anew, so swiftly did you flee. I hope that I'm as fast as you when the big hand comes for me. I'll just read one from here. I don't know if people of a certain age may remember the poem Timothy Winters by Charles Causley. I remember reading it at school. It starts off, Timothy Winters comes to school, eyes as wide as a football pool, hair like straw, teeth like splinters, lips of a boy is Timothy Winters. I mean, I loved it as a poem as a kid, and I thought I'd update it to modern times. So it's now, for me, Tiffany Winters. Tiffany Winters hits the scene. Dark eyes flicker like a video screen. Fists clenched tight, mouth turned down. Tiffany Winters comes to town. Pale-faced waif, small but hard, she can outrun any security guard. Her clothes are hot, but always cool. Tiffany Winters is nobody's fool. Of teachers, Tiffany has no fear, for she's not been near her school for a year. She learns her lessons out on the street, where the quick and the crooked make ends meet. Tiffany Winters has a bloody mind, lives in a flat that's hard to find, in a grim estate of disillusion, where no one's heard of social inclusion. She's never ever seen her dad, and her mother's boyfriends drive her mad. The police turn up from time to time, while Tiffany Winters turns to crime. Her social worker closed the case and left the job without being replaced. Awkward questions remain unasked, while Tiffany Winters grows up fast. In the local church, the vicar prays for wicked sinners to mend their ways, while outside Tiffany hangs round bars and sells herself in the backs of cars. But God, in his own mysterious way, cares for Tiffany still, they say. And what does Tiffany think in return? God, she thinks, has a lot to learn. A short one here called False Electricity. Didn't you know that false electricity tastes and smells just like the real thing? And that if you turn a bubble inside out, its air will suffocate. Soft spikes can cure mumbling. Most colours have a different sound on other planets. And cliffhangers are what we drape cliffs on when they're not being used, to stop them creasing in the wrong places. And this one. This is my ode to boredom. Childhood memories of Sunday afternoons before shops and computers and stuff. It's called Did You See? Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily. See that spider, see that fly. For one to live, the other must die. Come on, Grandma, find that broom. Sweep that cobweb out the room. Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily. Looking at the weather, doing it again. Better stay inside, sit and watch the rain. Watching out the window, time is going to pass. Sit and count the raindrops landing on the glass. Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily. Listen to the neighbours shouting through the walls. Listen for the doorbell, but no one ever calls. Breaking up the silence, listen to the clock. Wonder what would happen if the ticking ever stopped. Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily. Goldfish in the fishbowl, waiting to be fed. Bible on the bookshelf, waiting to be read. Dog's got a blanket, made himself a bed. Hasn't moved for ages, wonder if he's dead. Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily. Sitting on the sofa, lying on the floor. Staring out the sideboard, glaring at the door. Looking at a little world, all we've got to see. Waiting for the man who will invent TV. Did you see? Did you see? Whatever did we do before TV? Sit and watch the walls, happily, happily, happily. I'll just finish with a little trio of poems to commemorate the death of our greatest female English Prime Minister. The only one. This is a couple of short ones and a slightly longer one. This is Thatcher's Children. Bit of a rant, really, more than anything. Thatcher's children, bastard breed, feign compassion, worship greed, fleece the nation, sell the seed, reward the rich beyond all need, squander what's been long built up, create more poor while fat cats suck, flog all assets for short-term gain when bubbles burst, pass down the pain. Cameron, Osborne, Blair as well, let them join her down in hell. this is a continuation. Unfortunately, the continuing adventures of Mrs. T. Her iron husk soon melts in flame, her essence sinks to hell's domain. There Satan sits, once so alone, alas, a woman to share his throne. No wallflower she takes command, imposes change upon that land. For only she, fresh from her hearse, could alter hell and make it worse. And finally, with a debt, of course, here to John Milton and Paradise Lost, this is The Continued Adventures of Mrs. T. Continued. Mrs. T's now in command. Satan sits at her right hand. She's running hell on private lines. Sinners toil, pay hefty fines. Investors rush to share the boom. New pits are dug to make more room. Banished souls have no redress, and demons earn huge bonuses. But Mrs. T's not satisfied. She's still outraged that she has died and gone downstairs instead of up. One night she yells, I've had enough! Those lazy sods in heaven above witter on about joy and love. Come on, demons, let's give them what for. Go get our task force ready for war. Satan wavers. Do you think it's wise? Mrs. T with scorn replies, Satan, please, don't be so wet. Hell against heaven, it's a surefire bet. I'd beat the Argies, this'll be a breeze. We'll soon have heaven down on its knees. We're going to win, that's an end to it. God's a wimp, I'll bet he's frit. So off went the demons in a mighty force, fought with the angels and lost, of course. Thrown back down to the depths of hell, causing shares to drop as well. Thatcher raged and gnashed her teeth, blamed all the others for her defeat. You bloody lot just whinge and moan, in future I'll do it all on my own. Now even Satan had had enough. He boiled with rage and caused her bluff. Mrs. T, you're a pest and a curse. All you've done is make things worse. Stubborn, wrong-headed, obtuse as well. You obnoxious woman, you're a stain on hell. and he cast her down far, far below in the deepest pit where bankers go.